so vitally important, saith the Spirit of grace, that you understand your role as kings and priests in the earth. Understand your place of authority. I have no authority in this earth except that authority that I've given you. I can do nothing. As I said of my Father when I was on this earth, I can do nothing of myself. All power comes from Him. And now I say to you, my church, you are my body. I can do nothing in the earth sovereignly without you. Your authority, which proceeded from me, that which you walk in as human beings, filled with my Spirit, the authority that you have in the earth, I cannot circumvent it. I cannot go around it. I cannot work sovereignly without you being the one who brings all authority in the earth. Speak my word. Bring forth my word. Cause a revival in your city and in your region.
Thank you, Father.
It will not come sovereignly. It will not come set apart from you. Bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Robert, you had the mind of Christ. For us to speak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've always loved what a statement I heard Gary Carpenter make years ago, and I've heard him repeat many times, and the truth of it is there. He said, the Holy Ghost does nothing, performs nothing, even though it may be God's will. He performs nothing until it is spoken. He would not even perform the creation of the universe until God the Father spoke. And the Hebrew says, our King James says, let there be light. The Hebrew says, light be.
Yes.
And obviously, the Holy Spirit being part of the triune Godhead, He knew. Information doesn't get passed down second string to Him. Simultaneously, all three members know simultaneously what their will is, one God. So He knew what the Father's will was, but He waited. He waited. And when the Father spoke, He brought the worlds into existence through the essence of who Christ is. All things came from the Logos, the second member of the Godhead. But out of that essence of life, the Holy Spirit brought forth. It's so vital that we speak. It's so vital that we understand our place of authority. Kenneth Hagin had a vision of the Lord, and the Lord, and I believe what he said, because I believe he was a good man, the Lord stepped through the wall and started talking to him. Simultaneously, a demon appeared. Say, a demon when the presence of the Lord? Oh, yeah, they come to church all the time. And every time the Lord would start to say something, he was going to give instruction, and the devil would, yeah, wah, 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 wah. He was just yammering. He was yammering. And the Lord would start to say something else, and the devil would just mockingly try to speak over. He was just off to the right or left, and he would just, wah, 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 wah. And Kenneth Hagin was trying to listen to Jesus in his glorified body, and he was giving him some specific instructions. And finally, he kept wondering, when is the Lord going to do something about this? Finally, out of just frustration, he turns to the devil and said, shut up and get out of here. In Jesus' name. And the devil just disappeared. He was gone. And the Lord looked at him and said, thank you. Thank you so much. Was that bothering you? He was bothering me too. Thank you for making him leave. And he said, why didn't you make him leave? You're the Lord. He said, oh no, son, you don't understand. I passed all authority over to you. You're the one here on earth with the authority. See, we pass by things every day that aggravate us, control us, oppress us, and we think because it is written, because it's in there, or because it's the Word of God, or because that's not His will, that somehow He's just going to take care of it. He's not going to take care of it until you stand in the face of it and say, I say the Word said. Jesus did not sit there under those three horrible temptations and think, I know the will of God. Satan shouldn't be able to do this to me. He turned and said, it is written, it is written, it is written.
Amen. Yes.
And when you're a baby, and they're crying, you don't really, you kind of just kind of guess. Is it they're wet? Do they have a tummy ache? Is it earache? Whatever. It was so neat last night. Isla was staying with us. She's 2.5. She talks like a lawyer now. But she's still a baby, but she come in there and she was kind of crying. She goes, I hit my head underneath the table when I was underneath the table. And Candy goes, it's so neat when they get big enough they can tell you exactly what's wrong. Now, you can walk around with oppression, sickness, fears, anxieties, poverty, and all that. And as long as you, it ain't going to work. He can't do anything about it until you stand up and say, okay, now wait a minute. He doesn't have the authority. I'm the body. I say what goes on. I say what stops. I say what starts. If I don't like this in my body, I have full authority to stop it. If I don't like this oppression, I can stop it. I don't have to be like a baby, like, I don't understand. What's the No. We're grown men and women. We stand up, and when you said, let's speak, let's speak. Hallelujah. Let's worship. We thank you, Lord, taking us now throughout this service to the next level, the next place. Father, I thank you to deliver us out. All darkness. You've already done that. As inheritors, let us take that place. Let us walk into that place. No victims. Lord, I pray that every victim mentality in this house is totally vanquished in this hour.
Yes.
No entitlements. Lord, you've given us all the entitlements that we need in Christ Jesus. No entitlements of man. We're not victimized no matter what anyone has ever done to us, cheated on us, lied about us, taken from us in the natural. Every one of us have one choice. That is Christ. And in that choice, you promised this, that you would give us a peace that would pass all understanding. A peace that would supersede and go beyond anything that the natural mind. Father, I thank you that in Christ there is no victims. In Christ, we are free. We are free. No matter what path we've walked down, or no matter what has come our way, or no matter what destruction has stood in front of our house, we are free.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, for this freedom. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Why don't you give somebody a great big hug this morning? Tell them how glad you are to see him in the house of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning. We appreciate you being here. And just saw Delia's brother, Ricardo, And he's the one that we were praying for. Had the triple bypass. He looks good this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some neighbors of ours. They're here this morning. We appreciate them being here. And we just appreciate all of you being here. Hallelujah. We're going to, before we go into the message, we're going to exhort you in just a moment over the giving. But I want to pray first. And you can just join in with this prayer and just say amen at the end. Listen, be a part of it. So, Father, we just worship you, glorify you. All things are by you, for you, and going into you, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Father. We really know, and we're realizing even all the more all the time, that we can do nothing of ourselves. Our trust, at least our desire that our trust is that every moment of every day, every microsecond, it's weighted on you. And we're dispersing more and more of that all together, all the more on you, and we praise you. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the works of Satan over this body of believers concerning their finances in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over this body as a whole, as a church, we bind in the name of Jesus. Then we loose in the name of the Lord all of the factors of heaven, your spirit, your angels, Lord, to gather these things unto them, to gather these things unto this place. And in the name of Jesus, that the veil of the flesh would be, that has been cast at times over our hearts, that thing would be vanquished by the grace of God. And even to those that are listening, in the name of Jesus, we bind the works of the enemy against your finances and loose the power of heaven to gather unto you all the resources that God has planned for your life in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Amen. There were two types of binding and loosing in the Word of God. And the one that I just did is scriptural and apropos and is in context to what we just did. One is in Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about the binding and loosing that can take place as a result of trying to regain your brother. And that if your brother is offended at you, you go to him, and if you can't reconcile, then you get another brother, and that is not to override or try to coerce or overpower. It's to try to simply have a witness to try to pull that one back in. If not, if that doesn't work, if the one or two brothers doesn't work, then it's revealed to the church being the authority. You don't stand up in the church and say, I'm having problems with so-and-so. It's the authority, and that's still a closed caption or a closed place. But Jesus said that you could, when you are together, that if two or three are gathered together in my name, and the whole context of that was that whatsoever you bind on earth could be bound in heaven. They were binding that individual that they would not be lost in eternity because of their offense, that they went out, I don't trust, all preachers are just blah, 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 and all people in the church are hypocrites. And, you know, the excuse after excuse after excuse that calls most people to just, and sometimes there's some legitimate part of it, but it's primarily something that Satan uses to, well, that was one binding. But then in Matthew 16, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he asked them the question, who do men say that I am? And, of course, each one of them, or a number of them, said this, that some say Elias or Elijah the prophet. One said, they think you're John the Baptist that has recently been beheaded by Herod that has been reincarnated. Some say that you're a reincarnation of one of those two men or another prophet. But who do you guys, the 12, that you've been eating with me, you've been camping with me, and you've been watching all the miracles? Well, Peter pipes up and he says, I say that you are the Messiah. You are the sent one. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but upon this rock of what he had just spoken, that I am the Christ. I am this revelation that I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. Upon this rock will I build my church, that revelation. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as a result of it, whatsoever, knowing that the gates of hell that are camped and try to keep people ensnared to sin and poverty and sickness and all those kinds of things, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. And this key, know this, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Another translation says it like this, and I haven't studied the Greek on it as much, but I know that it exists. It says, whatsoever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Whatsoever you disallow on earth is disallowed in heaven. Kenneth Hagin said one time, the Lord shared with him and said, what I want you to do is this concerning your finances. And you've heard me talk about how that he said the Lord shared with him, or he taught, he said, you know, the enemy will fight a corporate, and he will individually, the area of finances more than he will an individual soul getting saved. And you say, wait a minute, that's ludicrous. That's God's love for people is far greater than money, and that's an absolute truth. But here's where he'll fight and put his onslaught. If you can squeeze out one or two individuals getting saved, the gates of hell don't care so much. But if you can keep people oppressed, impoverished, to where that the application of the gospel and the propagation of it becomes something that they just squeeze out. Oh, well, you just, you know, just barely squeezing out. And if he can slow that process down, that's what he's after. So that's where he fights finances even more than soul winning at times. Same application for your own life. But the Lord shared with him, he said, I want you to do two things. And this turned his whole life around. He said, I want you to begin to bind Satan concerning your finances, because he's out there working against you. And then I want you to turn and loose the angels of heaven to begin to gather these things for you. So I've found that I begin to do that more and more on an application in my life. And I know that it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity in giving and receiving. We thank you, Father, that your kingdom comes. Your will be done in their life in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to their hearts. Guide them and lead them according to your divine counsel and will in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point in time, we're going to give you the opportunity to give. Usually I say this, and I want to reiterate this, because we've got some visitors, and boy, we're so glad of that. And we've got some other people that maybe are just coming along with us. But you that are understanding where we're going in revival and understanding sonship and maturity, you're understanding that you're actually, this is not your appointment necessarily on service time to ask God what he'd have you to give. This is more for our visitors. This is more for those that are coming in and looking and kicking the tires and saying, what does this church do? What is it all about? For us and for you that are part of the family, you're separating this outside of these walls. You're already in your prayer time saying, what is his? Where, if there's no need mentioned, what is his? What is he asking me to do on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly, you know, or bi-monthly basis, or whenever, you know, that comes in or whatever? You are having these discussions with the Holy Spirit outside of these walls. And that makes it nice, because there's no manipulation, there's no sense of necessity. And you know, now you can always, if you come in here and he says, give again, praise the Lord, we're blessed. And you're blessed for being able to do it, because you've got it. Amen? Somebody said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Amen. It sure is. The one writing the checks always got more blessings than the ones having to get the check. Hallelujah. Amen. Get to the place where you're thinking about, I can't wait to be the one who pays the bill at the table. Don't have alligator arms. I can't reach it. I can't reach. Grab it. Pay for it. Well, I can't pay for it. Go past the mentality that you're in. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not a society of entitlement. We are Christians, and we have more than enough. We're not red, yellow, black, and white. We are born-again believers, and we are free from entitlements. No alligator arms. Give me that chick. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, bless it in Jesus' name. Please, would you stand with us again? If you're watching this morning, and this will go out, please, if you want to give, you're certainly have the opportunity to give. You can give through PayPal, or you can look on the website address and send a check. And amen. We appreciate it. You're blessed. Amen. So if you have, Marty, if you can give us something, and maybe all of you that are here, if you did not hug someone in that last hug-a-thon, give somebody a great big hug. But please bring this down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you a little bit about and just continue to encourage you. We will have Calling in the Lost tonight. Please be a part of that. Revival doesn't happen sovereignly. It doesn't. I remember the days where the men would come here an hour before church and pray. And just pray and pray and pray. And it created an environment. Our pre-service worship. Listen, if your goal is to get here on time, your goal's too low. Your goal's too low. If you're shooting like, we got to get there on time, your goal's way too low. Your goal needs to be, as revivalists, let's get there and be a major part of the pre-service worship. That's where your goal needs to be. And I'm not talking to visitors this morning. I'm talking about to elders and people that are helping us. Amen. Let's raise the bar. Let's raise the standard. Let's expect more of ourselves than we ever have before, because that's the only way it's going to take place, people. So our pre-service worship, God's going to has instructed me to do some things, and we're going to do one of the things that we're going to do is as soon as God provides it, we've got a big projector up here, and we've got a drop down screen coming in here, and it's going to help. You say this is a change. I'm telling you, don't ever stay the same. Don't ever stay the same. Don't try to be innovative. Don't just try to think of things. But when you're in prayer and God says, did you see that? Did you see what was happening there and how I was using that? Then you're supposed to say yes, and how do you want it to be tailored to us? Now, I didn't introduce this in the offering because I don't want to ever feel like I try to get away from need-based invitations to give. Because I really want you to develop a fellowship with him so that you're giving out of, pastor's not mentioning anything, but we know there's needs behind the scenes. That's maturity. But if you really, any of you that want to give into that later, we don't have a projected cost on that. It's going to be a real nice drop down where we'll be able to remote control it. And obviously, we can use it for other things too. We're not really a PowerPoint teaching kind of community here, but we could do that. But mainly it's going to be a lot for, and we can do other things too with it. You know, we can actually come in here and you can actually watch conferences at Jim Martin's. And there'll be a lot of different things that we'll be able to do with that. But we're just believing God for the finances to do that. And some of you, God's going to touch your heart to do that. So praise the Lord. Amen. Pre-service worship, I want to encourage you. Marty was all over it. I was sharing with him, and I was saying some things to Homer a few weeks ago. And listen, for all of those that are already here, this is not an indictment, and it's not a chastening. It's just like, thank you. But it's like our master. You know what our master does? When we bear fruit, he doesn't say, we feel his approval, but what does he say? Anybody that bears fruit, if I can count on you, I expect more. He says, I want you to bear more fruit. That's just it. He never says, well,
You can stop now. But if you're bearing fruit, in other words, if you're already here for pre-service worship, my instruction is this. Pre-service worship, and I don't mind gently reminding you again in the future if necessary, from the time 30 minutes, we do 30 minutes, Jim Martin is like 45. We're not trying to be Jim Martin, but I think he has got a good pattern. I've seen it. But so for the 30 minutes that we do, for the 30 minutes that we do start prior to, please let there be no, you know, public conversations. If you need to talk to somebody, please go outside. But if you're here for that 30 minutes, you're creating an atmosphere. Now the ladies pray, you know, next door, and that's they're providing something wonderful too, and it's just incredible what God can do. But believe me, atmosphere is everything. It really is. Jesus, and I'm headed towards where he was at. All I can say is I'm being perfected. Jesus could stand up and teach and perform miracles when people were deriding him. In other words, they were cussing him from the, you know, I'm not quite there. I might want to hit back if you stand. No. But now, a lot of times babies don't bother me and all that stuff because they'll, you know, well, you said something this morning. When the Holy Spirit says something, I'll say something. A lot of times the elders will say, did you, I didn't even see that because I'll be under an anointing so much. But when there is an anointing that says, you've got to hear, and the enemy, listen, the enemy wants to stop this because we're on the brink. You see this, you can't see it, but there's a dividing line here. There's a little metal or metallic strip or metal strip that separates. We've got more cushion up here for people that don't do courtesy drops, the CDers, but people who really fall out in the spirit. And we'll try to catch everybody, but if you're a CDer, you might hit your head. But there's a little dividing line. We're right, we got our tippy toes on the dividing line of going into the fullness of revival. And he's asking, since we got our tippy toes there, he's like, he can't push us because the Holy Spirit doesn't push, devils push, but the Holy Spirit leads. But he's going to do everything he possibly can. That's why it's so important that you say, I want to be a part of atmosphere. I want to get there that 30 minutes early, or if 20 minutes early or 15. I want to be a part of creating the worship. If God spoke to me as a lady to sit over there with Miss Barbara and to pray in tongues and create the atmosphere that is a part. Listen, if you don't think that there's not an entourage in the spirit, we can't see them. There's angels in here this morning. I know that scripturally. I also know that spirits come. Now, right now, I can pretty well feel that they're out there, not in here. There's a really wonderful atmosphere that which you all pulled in. I appreciate that. The Holy Spirit appreciates that. But if you don't think that there's not a warfare, you're sadly mistaken. And that warfare is to depress the reality of the necessity of how important it is to go and to be a part. And listen, if any of you ever say, I want to minister, don't worry about ministering on the streets. Come here. I mean, you can minister on the streets if you want to, but come here and be a minister. Provide an atmosphere. Come in here. The Bible says in Corinthians, each one of you, I need to do another service on hatha. Every one of you should hatha, H-A-V-E-A, have a, or hath, H-A-T-H, hatha, hath a, that's how the King James says, but it, you know, we would say it in our vernacular, have a something to give. He said, something inside of you. In other words, you little ones, just born again, okay, they're coming in here, feed me. We're coming in here, okay, I hope pastor's got something, but I'm coming in here with a hatha. My cup's full. I'm creating an atmosphere. I'm a minister. All the way to the back. Every single one of you are a minister creating an atmosphere. Somebody says,
you just think there's a devil behind every bush.
I like the way Rex always reminds me of this. He loved it too. Actually, I got a text from Donner yesterday. I love Donner, don't you? Oh my God, incredible. She had a dream that she wanted to share. It was a dream about us. And so obviously the text wouldn't do, so I had to get the dream. So I had to call her. But I just love her. She's a wonderful lady. Powerful, very powerful. But Donner used to say, of course, Donner was way up in witchcraft. Way up. And, we won't talk about that so much. I mean, she could do stuff that she said the white witches, the ones that called themselves white witches, she would just absolutely blow them out of the water. She could put stuff on them. The devil would go and do favors. You know, that she laughed at them. She laughed at them. And so she's been on that other side for a while. She's born again now, spirit-filled, and a powerful woman of God. She said, some people say, you think there's a devil behind every bush? She goes, no. No, there's not. She goes, there's about 10 or 100 behind every bush. You've got to understand that when he fell, he took a large part of, and the Bible says in the book of Revelation concerning the good angels that there's an innumerable. Now, innumerable means man cannot count them. If there's an innumerable amount of angelic beings that are still the fortification of heaven, and he wouldn't even need, you know, angels to fortify himself, but that's just another part of his creation. But if there's an innumerable amount of the good guys, take a big slice of innumerable, and you've got a lot. A big slice of innumerable is probably something we still can't count. Probably outnumbers human beings on the planet Earth, which means that they could depress or keep back a reality of the how important it is for you to go to church, how important it is for you to come with a hatha, how important it is for you to come Homer shares, and rightfully so. He rightfully shares. He does a tremendous job. And he talks about possibly one day going to Texas. I hope he doesn't. But if he does, that'll be one of the greatest privileges that we've ever had, that we have a man that really is qualified to pastor in his own right to go and pastor. But he talks to some of these people that I don't see and talk to. And he says, they say to him, based on what they hear being taught and some of the prophecies, they'll say to him in conversation, they'll say, the church, because they can't see the church. Sometimes they'll say, and it's really relatively full this morning, they'll say, my God, I bet the place is packed out. Now, that might not be verbatim, but they'll say, it's full, right, Homer? And he'll go, are you serious? Thank God the camera doesn't show it. You know why? And there's where a lot of preachers right there that have been under the gun, they say, well, because those people will usually say to him, I can't believe it. You're telling me that it's not wall-to-wall packed out based on what we're hearing. Oh, my God. We'd be there, in essence, hours before, or we would just, all the people over here, they're hearing it. They'd just be, we couldn't wait to get there and be a part of it. And they're truthful. They're truthful. And I appreciate the appreciation. That's where a lot of preachers they've went amiss, because when they're up against, if they do go into something like this where they're really actually making progress, not according to man's mechanics, but according to the Holy Spirit, then they find out, they say, somebody appreciates me over there. Well, that's the same way with a man that's unfaithful to his wife. Well, she understands me. Oh, get a life. Stick with what you got. You got something powerfully precious. The reason why the other one appreciates you so much, she don't know you. She don't know your stink self. Once she knows you, she's going to throw you. Hallelujah. And the preachers will like, they'll appreciate me over there. We only got five here, and they preach. Listen, the reason being is flesh is flesh. the nativity. You know what nativity is? It's the birthplace. The nativity of any place. See, those people that are saying that, they're not saying it frivolously. They mean it, but they're not fighting that battle. That battle's not theirs. They don't have this battle to fight. They're saying that from an appreciation from a distance. You move into any place and put up stakes and say, this is where we're going to have revival. And then they watch you for a while. We blew away a whole bunch of other preachers. And I'm not bragging. There's only one other minister in this city that has lasted as long as me. He's got me by a number of years. But there's probably been, I bet you there's been 100. Because I started thinking years ago, and I could count like 20 or 30 or whatever, of all the preachers that have come and gone. The nativity, the birthing place, has to be the place where the battle's at. It has to be the place where you have to fight all of anybody that really has a strong call, and you've got to water it down. You've got to constantly be trying to water it down with their own fights and with their own family matters and with their own financial problems and with their own sicknesses and with all, and it's just not really that important to be there with all of that. See, other places don't have that fight because we're not there. Make sense? I hope so. I hope you think you're not there. But wherever you're at, that's where the battle's at. And that's why we must continue in prayer. Prayer is the only avenue to revival. Well, I feel you with me, but I don't hear you with me. Prayer is the only avenue to revival. We've got to stay in prayer. This has got to, and let me just read some scripture to you. This is 101, prayer 101, but nevertheless, hallelujah, I hope you got your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. You know this, but let me, you can turn to Luke. The flesh, everybody say the flesh. Yes. And I'll tell you about the flesh. The flesh does not like to pray. It doesn't like to pray. Your spirit person on the inside, it likes to pray. But the flesh, and listen, if you think that you'll ever, now, you can get where you control the flesh, but if you ever think that you'll just absolutely come to the place where there is no more flesh, you are sadly mistaken. In other words, the flesh is something you've got to conquer every day of your life. Every day. And the war is always there. The war is always there. It doesn't mean that it's not a non-winnable war. It doesn't mean that you can't have bliss and happiness and joy. But you never, ever think, listen, there's a lot of, well, there's a good crowd here this morning, but the maroon parts, I can't see where you're sitting because you're covering up the maroon, but the parts of the maroon are leftover matter of people that had a strong life of prayer, and then eventually started saying, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Listen, I just had a recent vacation. It was wonderful. Well, Harry got married, hallelujah, to Sarah. It was so good. The Plamondons treated me so good. They were so gracious, and the Glimbas were so nice, and they got married, and they're so handsome couple. They're so beautiful, and everything went so good, and the venue was great, and it was just wonderful. Hallelujah. And those guys danced. Hallelujah. It was good dancing. You know, I mean, there's a good dance. You don't have to be, and don't y'all get religious on me. Come on now. Nobody was dancing vulgar. It was just really good. It was great. And we just had a great time. It was just perfect. It was just really, really perfect. And so we had a good time. And then Candy and I, we got to do something that we had just wanted to do for a long, long time. You know, actually, God calls Harry to meet Sarah. Just so, oh, okay. All right, come on. But we had been a long time waiting, wanting to go to I always want to shore the West, and I also wanted to because of our interest in creation and the creation sciences. And that's some really good stuff. When we get this stuff here, we're going to do some stuff. We're not going to get off the foundation. We know fasting and prayer and word, that's all foundation. But we're going to do also a family series. I've never, and I give him all the glory, I've never had so much in front of me. I've got months of stuff that I can't get to preach. But there's a family series coming, and there's a foundational series coming, and part of it is creation ministries. And we're going to show some real interesting creation films, maybe not on Sunday morning, but some stuff that you really need to have for your database, for your foundation, and giving to your kids, because millions of years, evolution in millions of years, is something that has demoralized, and really 90-something percent of 20-year-olds, even who have been in the church, are gone by the time that they're up in their 20s or something. And a big part of that is what they're being taught from the very beginning, millions of years and evolution, and it just begins to devalue the Christian belief. And so there's a whole lot in front of us, and part of that interest, God was, so we got a chance to go to, we moved up after the ceremony on Friday, and we moved up on Saturday, went to Sedona for 4 nights. I don't know if any of you have ever been in Sedona, Arizona, but it's just an incredible place. It's another world. It's so beautiful. There's no way that pictures, we have posted a lot of our pictures and videos on Facebook, so you can look at those. It's incredible. You can't bring that here, even in pictures. There's no way. And then we went. So Candy hiked with me. She did. She was a trooper. She just really, really did good. We went. We had a one-day creational tour with a guy that actually we had, because it was Memorial Day. It was incredible. We had this big, like, 14, 16-passenger bus that everybody else was going to. But I guess because it was a Memorial Day, there was nobody else but Candy and I that was part of the creation tour. And we had a guy that was a real scientist. I mean, he had a degree, and he actually had a degree in technology. He had been a teacher for many years, 30 years. But he was brilliant. I sit there for 8 hours. He took us all around the canyon. We ate lunch with him, and I got my money's worth. So he was a born-again believer, and it was incredible. And he just shared and shared, and we were just sitting there eating our lunch, and he's just sharing about the canyon, the flood, geology, and sedimentary, you know, rocks, all the stuff, and how it proves. You go into all the, and I know that we're not talking about that we need proof of creation. I know that, understand that, but for someone that really has an interest in it, and then also will lay a foundation for other future generations, this is important stuff. It really is, and very interesting stuff. So then the next day, we got a chance to walk, hike 4.5 miles down in the canyon, and then, of course, if you go 4.5 miles in the canyon, you got to go 4.5 miles up. And so you start out at about 7,500. The rim is indifferent, and there's no guardrails at the rim. We asked the guy later I think Candy asked you, or maybe it was me. I said, do they ever, you know, because people are jumping up on rocks and they're doing stuff, silly stuff. And I'm telling you, some of you have been to the canyon. There's parts of it you just look, and when you look into infinity almost. Actually, if you're standing where we were standing and looking at the Colorado River, you could not, there was no way that you could see a human being down there by that river. Because the river was about thumb wide, and it was 700 feet across it. It's 700 feet across it where we were looking at. That's over 2 football fields, and it looked like a thumb. You could not see a human being without binoculars. That's how deep it is. And so it's incredible, and we walked down into this, or we hiked down to that place, and some of the paths were like from the pulpit to this, you know, strip across here, and you're passing people, and I'm wanting to hug the wall like this, but, you know, I'm not going to let any kind of fear come, you know, just don't look over there, because I'm telling you, when you're walking like this, and they do, and we asked the guy, does anybody ever do fall? And he goes, oh, yeah, we lose several every year. And you know, we saw people doing silly stuff, and if they'd have fallen, there's no way. I just had to keep walking and say, you know, there's a guy down there. He's a mile down there. I don't know where. You can't go, oh, my God, you can't run down there and save him. They're just gone. And we were reading about how many people are just, they just go. That's it. They're taking a picture and they just go. And so I'm like, this is so beautiful. But it's, you know, you can't, don't look out there, you know. But it was incredible. So we went down 4.5 miles, and I think that took us like 3 hours. We rested, and it took us 4.5 hours to get back up, and she was a trooper. Yay for Miss Candy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Pat her on the back. Hey, this month, 39 years with the most beautiful woman in the world. Hallelujah. But listen, we were in Sedona, and that's got to be, and I think I read this recently, it's got to be the New Age capital of the world. All of everybody that's Mother Earth and planet and all the psychics, I mean, when you drive down, it's a beautiful town, beautiful, unbelievably beautiful. But there's a psychic, palm reader, it's crystal, New Age, blah, 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 blah. And it's, and they're all worshiping. Listen, there is no Mother Earth. There's an earth that God created for me. I'm the Lord. I'm one of the, he's the Lord, but I'm one of the Lords over this earth. They worship the earth. And when you go to the canyon, you look out, and New Agers, if you, there's all kind of points. You would not believe. If you ever get a chance and you just want for just to look, the Middle Easterners, I saw the Buddhists and I saw the Hindus, or I saw the Buddhists standing there and they're, you know, shaven heads and long gowns, and they were just, they have, if you look at all the different points on the map, they have named all those names. And we have, as Americans, fabricated those names and put those names down as canyon names of all these gods. The Middle East has moved in there. They worship. Here's what it is. Here's the perversion of it. It's so inspiring that they begin to, oh, Mother Earth. And listen, this earth was created for us, not us for the earth. We are the ones. And then you get people going crazy about the environment. Listen, I know we need to take care of the environment, but in the end, it's all going to, he's not going to keep this earth. He's going to burn this whole thing up. That's what the book of Revelation says. So I'm not talking about just wasting it, but I'm telling you, I'm the Lord over the earth, not the Lord over me. There ain't no Mother Earth. God created this for you and I to have dominion over. And those poor people out there, they're just worshiping it. Don't step on that. Candy and I, I'm mean. I really am sometimes. But we climbed up these, and all wherever you go, on top of these mountains, there are these pyramid stones where people lay stones. And sometimes it's kids just stacking stones. But sometimes it's rituals. We went all the way up to... That's my daughter snorting on the front row. We went all the way up to, what was the name of that first place? Not Tabernacle, but Cathedral, thank you. Cathedral Rock. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. And I get up at the top, and there's this woman over the side. I was, what is going on? And I'm like, God. And they're all over the place, you know. And they're stacking up. And I go, now the next day I go up to, there's a mesa. You know, a mesa, the word mesa means wider than tall. So it's a flat, but it's way up there. We walked up this mesa. And some places, honestly, to get down, you have to get scoot on your, you know, buttocks and hands. I mean, it's really hard, and you're climbing like this. It's really tough some places. But we got up on top of this mesa, and there's these little, and I told Candy, I said, watch this. I said, I just changed the equinox. I changed somebody's history or future. Their whole world just changed. And you look for another one, you know. She says, I love it. David says, I would do it. I would do it. Candy, I don't know why you're laughing, because she wouldn't do it in front of little kids, but if she sees these really nice sandcastles at the beach, I have the hardest time with her. Don't, Candy, don't. She'll walk right through them. She always does it. Don't. She's just got this craving to walk through sandcastles. Somebody built that, Candy. Well, there's no kids around it no more. Sometimes I've seen her go, oh, my God. Enduring prayer. The flesh doesn't like, it never will. You've got to bring the flesh under subjection. Luke chapter 18. I guess we should do something spiritual, right? Luke chapter 18. And this is about enduring prayer. This is prayer 101. But folks, Family Prayer Center, we've got to understand this is part of our foundation. We won't have revival without prayer. Families, now Candy and I don't have to do this anymore, but mommies and daddies, you got little ones in the house, have your prayer time. Don't stop that. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be eternal, and it doesn't have to be every night, but 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, you need to be having some prayer and Bible time, even if it's just for little ones. It can only probably be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. The older they get, they can graduate to 20 or 30 minutes. Get them filled with the Spirit and have them. Don't forsake prayer. Thank you for 4 or 5, all of you, really. This is about prayer, and it's easy to understand. Verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Do you know what faint means? It doesn't mean to pass out. It means to quit. Don't quit. This is the parable that tells you how to not quit. Saying, this is what he said. He's talking about, how many of you agree with me that he's talking about prayer? That men ought to always to pray and not to quit, or not to pass out, but to quit. Saying, this is what he said. There was in a city a judge. Now, we'll determine who this judge is in just a moment. Which feared not God. How many of you can I hope that you can deduce this. When it says this judge feared not God, how many of you would just easily see that that's not talking about God? Okay? God does reverence himself. So the judge that he's talking about here is not, it's obviously not God. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. Okay, I'll just tell you what I'm going to tell you. We're really talking about the flesh here. We're talking about the part of you that'll never ever submit voluntarily to prayer. It'll always find an excuse. I'm too tired. I work too hard. Oh, let me throw this one at. This one's a good one. This one's a good one. Pastor, that's what you're paid for. I've got a real job. I got a job. Listen, the flesh, I find, even with what you would think all the time, listen, if you don't pray now where you're at, if you had my job, you'd still not pray. You don't know how busy I am. That'll lay me down and go to sleep real good. That'll pacify your flesh real good. Now, when you want to grow up, pull that pacifier out and go on with God. Because no matter where you're at in life, the flesh will always find the excuse not to pray. Now, you might go through a season. I didn't pray very little on that deal, you know, when we were out. That's a season. But after every season, after every little vacation, and listen, don't ever, here's the deal. Don't ever go on a vacation that you have to have. You should never need a vacation. You should always go on a vacation just to enjoy. If you're like, I got to have this. I got to have it because I'm burnt out. You're not living inside of his realm of peace. I did, honest to God, I did not have to catch my breath or to to be revitalized. I did not have to get away because I'm always getting away. In fact, when I'm away, I can't wait to get back to the place I love the most, that place of prayer. And I can tell you this, if you live a life like I can't wait to the next vacation to revitalize, you're not living inside of Him to the peace that He's called you to. Well, I just don't have time. Listen, I know you really might even believe that. I'm not calling you a liar. You might believe that, but in all essence, it really is a lie. Because you make the world that you live in. Especially if you own your own business or have I'm so busy. Listen, do you not believe that if you shaved off a little bit of that, an hour of that, and gave that to Him, that He couldn't just multiply your fishes and loaves tremendously? If you shaved off some of that and said, I'll give that to you, do you watch any TV? I mean, do you watch any TV at all? Do you have any recreation? Yes. Yes. But that's my time. Listen, that time, any time bought in Him, will produce an intimacy that brings forth such a productivity that it will supersede anything that you can do by natural efforts. That's why, really, honestly, when people that know better, not people that are new, but when people know better and they say, I'm just stressed out, I can't take it. And I know that they don't give no time to prayer and word. It's not that I'm angry at them. It's just like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm all out. I'm totally out. Don't ever go on a vacation that you have to have. Find your vacation. Then when you go on vacation, you're already totally. Hallelujah. Well, when I go to that place, I can really relax. Listen, if you think any place on the planet Earth makes you feel the presence of God more, well, when I go to Tulsa, when I go to here, when I go there, when I go, the place I find the presence of God is wherever I'm at. Wherever my booty is at, that's where He's at. I don't have to go to the mountains, the sea. I don't have to go any place. His presence is with me wherever I'm at. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Okay. There was in this city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man, and there was a widow. Now, when it talks about the widow, it's trying to give you a disposition that this widow is, this is not an apostle. This is not a prophet. This is, remember when Pastor Dave used to talk about Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public? Just the most insignificant of all. It says, and there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I fear not God. Now that's not God, and that's not the widow saying this, which is the person of the Spirit that's desiring to go in and defeat the flesh. Though I fear not God, this is the flesh, nor regard man. Listen. Your flesh, now there's a part of you that loves God. That's not your flesh. Your flesh would just be okay with you making a lot of money, retiring, and I know you might not believe this because the part of you that says no to it is the spirit. But your flesh wouldn't care less if everybody went to hell. Because it's your flesh you will always be the center of your world at your flesh. It doesn't regard God, nor does it regard man. It doesn't. Your flesh is always like, that's why somebody can be telling you a story about, I'm dying with cancer, man. And you're like, you're not even hearing them. You know, they just gave me 4 months to live. And you're like, what? I don't know what he said, because I got to tell him about my ingrown toenail. This thing is killing me. Why? Because you're the center of your world in your flesh. When you diverge from your flesh and get over in your spirit, then everything is important. Everything in the spirit is important. Hallelujah. So the flesh does not regard man. It does not regard God. It doesn't have a reverence towards. But this is what Jesus said. This is how you destroy the flesh, or this is how you wear the flesh out. Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall. Now, here's the contrast. Here's not the unjust judge is the flesh, but here's God. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It doesn't say that they have to bear long with God. It says he bears long with them. Why is this taking so long? Because he's bearing long with me. That's right, because your flesh has to come under subjection. It doesn't say that you're bearing long with God. As soon as you're able to get your flesh in a position where it submits to the Spirit, then the answer comes. He bears long with you. You don't have to bear along with him. He says, I'm ready to do it now. It's you and I getting our flesh under subjection. Lest by, he says here, which cry unto him night and day, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he asks this question, shall he find faith on the earth? When he says, shall he find faith on the earth, he's not talking about, will anybody believe in the existence of God? What was it? What was the subject matter here, class? Help me. Prayer. What kind of prayer? Enduring prayer. Prayer that keeps you going and you don't faint. So the subject is, will people in my kingdom continue a walk? Will I find this kind of faith, enduring prayer faith? Will they continue to engage against their flesh enough that they allow their flesh no excuses, but they continue to go forward and say, I'm going to win it? And so this was a very powerful teaching by Jesus concerning not giving excuses, but staying in a place of prayer. Listen, he will try to stop prayer. A few years ago, about three, I guess, I went through without any exaggeration on my part, standing here in the presence of the Lord and you as witnesses, the most challenging trial of my life. It was as if the 20 years that I had spent in this, that all attacks, all external things, internal things, and everything, this one had evidently been engineered by Satan to completely stop me. I shared with some of my closest friends and some of the elders, and elders were praying for me and walking through. My wife stood strongest with me. I was walking in a perfect place of morality. My life was clean. I was walking in a clean place. It was an attack to absolutely stop revival. It was mounted on so many different fronts. I won't even go into, and I won't give glory to the enemy. It was mounted on maybe 15 different, at least in my mind, areas. It was so fragmented, and it had so many spiders in it that there was no way to even articulate or to explain the emotional and the mental and the fight. Anybody that's ever walked in and had one of those kind of assignments could appreciate. It's a very time of when confusion and a lot of reasonings. Pastor Dave used to call him Mr. Destruction of Reasonings. In other words, you're fine, and I was fine, and I was going forward doing the same things that I always did, and then all of a sudden this thing came out of what seemed like nowhere, but it was an assignment from the pits of hell, and I'm not going to give him no more glory on that. My wife, she fought with me. Our love was as strong then as it ever was, but it was just putting a strain on both of us in the fight. Obviously, I'm more than free, and I praise God for it. During that time, as I was going through that, I realized one of the things that in retrospect I saw is that even though I had was setting aside the hours to pray, like I always did, I was spending much of that time in trying to think things through. Listen, don't think your challenges through, pray them through. If you give yourself over to this, you'll be gone from here. You'll figure, you don't have the power with this to win spiritual battles. Don't think anything through, pray it through. The Lord finally got across to me, he said, stop reasoning and rule. And I knew what that meant. I knew that I had to stop sitting there thinking something through. I had to rule it through with prayer. Oh, glory be to God. Listen, I've never ever experienced the freedom. I've never ever experienced the peace, the understanding of where we're going as a body and having so much in front of me and the vision in front of me and all the glory to God, I'm telling you. The other thing I'll tell you too, I understand. I really do understand now more than I've ever understood before, having that gone through that a few years ago, and it lasted quite a while. It's been a couple years now that really walking in another place of freedom and peace. But I understand now how ministers also get so amiss. During that time, it was incredible, during that time that I did not shut down prayer, but I went with this a lot, there was a lot of times where it was really hard for me to come up with material, sermon, ministry. Now, I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, please. It's like I've got months in advance. God took me to a place and helped me how to understand how to win on those certain spirits. But I also noticed something. I noticed that when I would come in here and preach, and sometimes it was hard for me to preach. A lot of people said, we'd never even noticed. That's good, because that was the grace of God. But when the sermons were 20 minutes long, now you guys are saying, man, he got overhealed. When the sermons were 20 minutes long, you know what I noticed? And I did not understand it. There, and you probably won't remember it, but because I'm standing up here, during that hardest time, Satan brought his promotion. And this is where people don't understand, and this is where a lot of ministers don't understand. During the time where I was at my, what I felt like my least, and you might think, and this is what I thought to start with, that God was trying to subsidize me. He was trying to really help me and encourage me. But during that time when I was really fighting being almost lost in space, we had for weeks, if not months, some of the largest services attendance-wise that we ever had. I saw people coming in here that I'd never seen, and people that regularly don't come were coming. The reason being is this, and you'll understand this. When ministers don't know where they're going, and they're trying to figure out, and they're volatile to, well, somebody said we need to go this way, or somebody said we need to go that way. I know where we need to go through him. But when they're real volatile, do you know seeker-friendly churches? The enemy promotes that. What? The enemy will promote, Satan will actually almost help people get to church to verify and to promote them going down the wrong road. Come on. Yeah, you got hundreds. Wow, you got hundreds and hundreds. Well, this teaching can't really be wrong. It can't be off because look how many people's coming. Look how many, and I'm not saying that we got off in our teaching then. I'm just saying when you're in a fog, the enemy a lot of times will, what I understand now, he will promote something that looks like it's something that it's not. Is everybody still with me? That's why we understand that there is a fight. People don't even understand it. You don't understand, many of you understand that there's a fight just to be here. There's a fight just to go forward. There's a fight, and some of our best, yes, sir, salute smartly, as Gary says, some of our best verifications of right road theology and going down the right path has been the emptiness at times. When I recalibrated and peace came, and I prayed, he helped me pray myself through that, the crowds vanquished. They just went. But I'm telling you something. When the crowds come back, the crowds will be back for good. They're staying with maturity and life and strength and mobility in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you're part of that. Hallelujah. We can't even, he wouldn't even let, I had like 11 pages of stuff that I was sharing. I said something to Gary. I said, oh, my God, I'm fixing to go out to Phoenix. And he gave me all this download. And Gary goes, listen, send me your notes, and I'll make sure that I'll watch over them until you get back. I said, not on your life. But we didn't even get to, that's not what he gave me. We got something else. It's going to be 3 or 4 parts. But I got up this morning in prayer, and I was worshiping, and the Lord says, I want you to go back to prayer. Go to the foundation. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. Hallelujah. It's prayer. What is it? Prayer. Hallelujah. Even with all the revelation that we're getting, like myself, Gary, Homer, Jim, any that when we're giving out revelation of the reality of the kingdom and like it's now, now, now. Even with all of that, it's still, you have to go into prayer, because Jesus said, I am the vine. You're the branch. We're the branches. But he said, without me, you can do nothing. The life to make all this happen comes with us being plugged in to the vine. He's that life. And it's that intimacy in prayer, praying in tongues, meditating the word, staying in him. All the revelation doesn't work. All the real kingdom revelation doesn't work unless we're plugged in to life. And Jesus exemplified that. They continually teach us to pray. We want to pray like you pray, because we see that when you go and pray and you come out, miracles take place. Jesus was the man full of all wisdom and all doctrine, but doctrine alone could not. And we teach strong doctrine, but doctrine alone cannot bring forth the miracles. We've got to stay plugged into the vine in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be in prayer speaking over this city. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you for every good thing that you've provided in this house today. Let these words sink down deep in our hearts. Lord, let us go to the next level. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father God, and we commit all these things and your people unto you in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.